morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Democratic Perspective here. We're going to do a Mike Cosentino, our illustrious leader, Steve Williamson, is off, I don't know, hiking somewhere. He's in the great outdoors.
He and a friend are off hiking in the wilderness somewhere.
So that's the silver tones of Gary LeMaster, who's not going to be silent today because he can't be. It's just the two of us. We're going to do a little perspective retrospective. I'll try to say that three times fast. We're going to maybe it's all those environmental shows we've done recently and that we have coming up that sent Steve out into the wilderness. Last week's show.
To do research, I think.
To do research, that's right. Well, it's the same reason I go to Cactus Cates for various other watering holes.
Before the wine shows,
before
right?
That's right. We have to. I'm a famous wine auctioneer. I have auctioned wine with the mayor of Sedona, who, truth be told, I use as a great knowledge base, who actually knows what she's doing, and I'm just the hired buffoon, kind of as I am here. So let's get to buffooning here. We did have... We did have a wonderful guest from the Defenders of Wildlife last week, and we did a great show, by the way. Go check it on vvid.org on the Mexican gray wolf in Arizona. And all of that controversy, she was clear. She was to the point, you know, we got the real skinny on why, you know. There's a part of me that says, why? Yeah, I don't know. Okay, a bunch of wolves. Maybe, you know, it's nice to have them back. Anyway, it was a good show, and it's sort of next week or within the next couple of weeks, I don't want to pin us down, we're going to have Sandy Barr, the president or chairman of the Sierra Club. We're going to talk about the Grand Canyon chapter of the Sierra Club. We're going to talk about the Grand Canyon watershed, uranium mining up in the Grand Canyon, all of these things. You know, one of the things everybody's an environmentalist. Everybody. I don't care if you're bouncing across the, you know, 260 in your blank 350 pickup truck with dual wheels, you know, and a bunch of manure in the back. You are an environmentalist. Nobody wants to drink dirty water. Nobody wants to drink dirty air. There is nobody like that. Nobody wants their children to grow up in filth. So everybody's an environmentalist. It's just we talk about the degree to which we're in, what we do in our environmentalism, that is the argument.
The problem is when the environment conflicts with people's sense of convenience and with their livelihoods, then that's when everything becomes a problem. Is that we're perfectly willing to protect the environment, and unless it's going to maybe cost us some money or it's going to make it more inconvenient, we aren't going to be able to.
We have to drive slower or pay
drive,
more.
We can't drive our huge vehicle that sucks up fuel.
No, that's very true. I mean, Al Gore called his thing an inconvenient truth, and his clarion call for environmental awareness. Climate change, the poor Pope, and he was getting attacked by his lieutenants for supporting, you know, something. You know, if a leader... We're going to talk about leadership this morning. We're going to talk about Democratic leadership. We're going to talk about Republican leadership. But if a leader and of course he's a leader in supposedly this world and the next, by the way, which is kind of a cool position, I suppose, is concerned about, you know, the population of this world, then climate change and rising sea levels has a potential for devastating more lives than certainly anything that mankind can come up with. I mean, the Syrian wars and included.
And it's going to cost trillions and trillions of dollars. I thought it was interesting that when everyone was focused on the eclipse of the lunar eclipse of the supermoon, the supermoon being closest to the Earth at that period of time, created larger tides than normal.
Mm.
And in South Miami, the streets were flooded just from the tide.
Wow.
And, they've seen a 5 foot rise in the water level, you know, a foot a year for the last 5 years. And that's, you know, the effects of climate change are just getting started. And that was just from the tides and the moon. Now imagine what happens when the rest of the Greenland ice sheet and the rest of the Antarctic ice sheet and the rest of the Arctic ice melts, and sea level is going to rise, and it's going to drown almost every major city and population in the world.
On the coasts, anyway. Yeah, that does seem to be something you'd want to pay attention to. So anyway, you know, our poor Pope trying to care and call attention to it and saying, world leaders, if you call yourself leaders, but what we get, and there is this, you know, one of the things I'm going to talk about this morning is leadership by fear. H.L. Mencken had a great quote that the whole purpose of politics is to keep you afraid of imaginary. I'm not quoting, I'm paraphrasing. The whole purpose of politics, practical politics, is to keep the populace afraid of imaginary hobgoblins, he said, you know, imaginary folks out there. And it works pretty well.
Only my candidacy, only my party can save you from your fear.
Well, then we're going to talk about, like I said, we're doing a, but talk about Benghazi. I want to talk about what's happening lately in politics.
Yeah, I think last week, you know, the news was so focused on the tragedy in Oregon and everything else seemed to get lost. So that was kind of the purpose of our show this morning, was to kind of recap for you things that happened last week. There were a lot of other important events, and they were just so completely overshadowed by, you know, a deranged person with lots of guns shooting innocent people. And so, you know, one of the things that happened last week was a statement by the, well, first of all, we had the current Speaker of the House, John Boehner, announced that he was retiring after the Pope's visit.
Right.
And he was in tears once again. And, so the odds-on favorite to replace him was Kevin McCarthy, and he made an appearance on Sean Hannity's show on Fox News Channel, and let it slip that when he was challenged, "What have you done for the Republican Party? What have you done for America?" He pointed to the Benghazi Special Committee and select committee and said that, well, look at this. We've been keeping Benghazi alive for 3 years, and we've seriously damaged Hillary Clinton's, you know, the leading Democratic candidate's, trustworthiness by, running our hearings. So it was
by making up these charges that she's been cleared of by every government agency that there was nothing that she could have done about Benghazi. There's nothing in Benghazi. 9 investigations, more than 9/11, more than Beirut, more than anything this government has. And yet, because it damages the front running Democratic candidate, as a matter of fact, he said on that show that Hillary was a shoo-in until I started these Benghazi investigations. The implication is very clear, and he got in trouble for it. And because it was such a stupid thing to say, and we can say stupid.
It's actually admitting to illegal activity.
Yeah. Well, actually, it was such an honest thing to say, this rare moment of honesty. I thought, well, wow, maybe, they're admitting to the politics that they're playing. That's a good, that'd be a different way to conduct politics. So he does, so yes, because he outed the party for its Benghazi scam against the front-running Democrat, now he has a serious challenger. Are you going to tell us about him?
Jason Chaffetz of Utah is now challenging him. But I think, you know, and McCarthy is backtracking big time over his statement because, as I mentioned, if it's true, it can be proved that they were doing this all for politics. It's pretty obvious they were, but if it could be proven, then that's a illegal violation of House laws. And there could be some serious repercussions. But, you know, that select committee and the other investigations are only a part of what's gone on with this scam. It's as Mike said, there have been 9 investigations over 3 years. All of them have cleared Clinton and the administration of any wrongdoing. Yet the media has continued to participate in the scam by almost daily reporting another accusation, an unfounded accusation. And so there have been dozens and dozens of false reports by the media on Benghazi. And then they were able to, you know, bring up through the investigations, bring up the issue that Clinton, you know, used a private email server instead of the State Department.
Now, Colin Powell, the most famous Republican, at least the most reasonable famous Republican some of us know, goes on television and says, you know what, I had a private server, and, you know, this is bull. Every Secretary of State in the last, since email became a popular communication device, has had their private email servers. Many people argue that her private server was at that time more secure than the State Department server.
Well, it was shared by a former president, Bill Clinton. So you would assume that the server of a former president would be more secure than the average person's. So, and by the way, that server was never successfully hacked, but the State Department server, the official government server, was hacked.
See, but none of this gets out. One of the things implicit in all of this, and this is when people's heads start spinning here, unfortunately, you know, one of the things we try to do in Democratic Perspective is clear up some of the more confusing aspects, some more
falsehoods.
The falsehoods, the lies of the media, of what you're hearing, and this is one of those areas. The media just carries this water, so there is no lie in 2015 that will not get at least some coverage, no matter how outlandish. Like Carly Fiorina lies every time she opens her mouth. They've got scads and skeins of documentation about the lies that she tells, and she goes, and they all go on lying because it works. Yeah. Because, you know, if you can get any part of the media, and I'm not just going to blame Fox News for once, because they have plenty of help in repeating. Nobody has the time. I remember my days as a journalist and two-source journalism, and you wouldn't put anything in. All those things are, and I see that on the journalism shows, by the way, trying to get that second source.
A great example is CBS's 60 Minutes did an expose, you know, a special report on what really happened in Benghazi with Laura Logan.
Right.
And then they found out, it was proven afterwards, that virtually every aspect of that show, that special report, was false.
Was completely fed to them by Republican operatives. And don't get me wrong, it's hard out there. You have these sources that appear to be legitimate, and then they turn out to be on the payroll of this or that organization that has a spin.
My biggest complaint with the media is that they're so afraid of being accused of partisanship that they just present, you know, allow both sides to present their story, and they never provide any context.
Well, but that's the reasoning. And it's false. It's a false reasoning.
Right. But for example, you know, with this whole email server, you know, controversy, if you want to call it that, one of the things that's never, you know, has been reported, but in obscure media, and this is absolutely true, during much of the Bush administration, the administration ran its official government emails through the Republican National Committee's email server instead of government servers. And when it became known that they had done that towards the end of the administration, there was a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information Act request for those emails. And 2 million-plus emails went suddenly missing.
Yeah.
They were erased,
deleted.
never reported, never given to the investigative committees.
Right.
And the whole issue was dropped. More than 2 million emails from the administration on government business that were run through a separate server, a political party server,
right,
and deleted. And there were, you know, the media hardly ever reported it. It happened, but it just was ignored. Now we have this case of Benghazi, where Clinton gave all of her business emails to the committee and to the FBI. And so those have been gone over, and the FBI and DOJ found no wrongdoing. And now they've found all of her private emails, more than 31,000 emails that are private emails from her server.
Yeah.
And so now we're going to have, you know, mark my words, between now and next year's election, it'll be drip, drip, drip.
So tell us, is there, you know, one of the conservative websites love to hammer Hillary. So tell me, is there a right wing conspiracy? Is there a bunch of really wealthy men, the Adelsons of the world, the Koch brothers? You know, are these guys really focused on making sure Hillary Clinton never gets elected to office?
I think the entire GOP is focused on making sure.
Well, that's fair. We expect the opposition party to be focused on not supporting
the politics
opposition.
Of destruction, using congressional oversight committees to, you know, for the express purpose of destroying a candidate.
That's
kind of unusual.
Mass media lying and repetition. Yes, absolutely. The level of assassination is. So even though a lot of Democrats will dismiss Hillary and say, okay, well, they got her. You know, no matter what happens, they will not allow her to ever be clean, ever to be elected. So we move on. You know, then there's allow them to destroy this leader, this qualified, good, knowledgeable leader of the country, and move on. Say, okay, well, we got Bernie. 26,000 people show up to a rally. 26,000. You know, Rand Paul that same day got 50 in his hometown. So Rand Paul gets 50 in his hometown.
50,000 or
50?
50 people.
So they're counting him out, that it'll be a matter of hours, of days at most, that he's going to bail. And maybe not, you know, just because only 50 people support you in your hometown. I suppose, in a way, you can call Boston Bernie Sanders' hometown. Certainly one of the closest, biggest city to Vermont. And but the biggest political rally ever. Kennedy's? Nothing. We can go on and on. Nobody. And this kind of thing gets not reported. You catch it on Facebook. You can catch it on Twitter. You can catch it on social media. But you certainly don't see it in mainstream media.
Or this if, is the or biggest if you do, it's buried in the sixth page.
Well, that's it. It's going to be one mention. You know, you're going to get 3 seconds or 8 seconds. And we all know that they did, you know, 8 and 9 minutes when Donald Trump had 3,000.
But whenever Donald Trump blows wind, we hear about it in the major media.
Well, that being as it may, the right now the current trend is Trump is over. That it's all happening. He's deconstructing. They using as the current evidence that George Stephanopoulos interview the other day, which I didn't see. As evidence of his deconstructing.
Now it's Ben Carson and Carly Fiorina. And,
that's right.
And Carly Fiorina, if you do some investigation, you'll find out that she is almost single-handedly responsible for the loss of 100,000 American jobs at HP and Compaq. And before that, I mean, so she was fired from as the CEO of HP.
Yeah.
And before that, she was fired as the CEO of Lucent, which she also ran into the ground. And after she was fired from HP, she was given a $40 million golden parachute. And
how can these people even relate to anything that we have, anything that we don't know? They don't know.
And she dares to challenge Hillary. And I'm not the biggest Hillary fan. I should make that clear. I want the Democrat to be elected. But
don't say that in Sedona. The women of Sedona.
But,
you're lucky the door's locked.
But, you know, it's amazing to me that Fiorina can challenge Hillary by saying, what accomplishments does she have? Well, she didn't lose 100,000 American jobs. She didn't drive two large companies into financial problems.
We do want to talk about the two current Republican frontrunners. We talked about Carly Fiorina. We're going to talk about Ben Carson. But we also want to, let's wrap up Ben Carson. And then I want to do a little, I want to talk about the Democratic picnic and our Eco Expo. Say that 3 times fast. We're going to do tongue twisters this morning. But tell us about Carson. What's his latest thing?
Well, the last thing I saw, I haven't paid a lot of attention to Carson. And
only those things that pop up that you can't avoid.
You know, he's a he's an evangelical and a retired neurosurgeon, which, you know, shows that he's bright and skilled with his hands, but it doesn't, you know, tell you anything about his ideas for the country.
Yeah.
One of the last ideas I did see and heard was that one of his solutions to the immigrant problem was to use those immigrants as lowly paid or unpaid slaves. I hardly a real, you know, solution. It's no better. It's worse than Trump's idea of rounding up 11 to 12 million people and putting them on trains and sending them back on what he calls a wetback express.
Well, as I always saw, you know, rounding up our friends and neighbors. I mean, you know, this is shades of fascism, not whatever you want to call it. You don't round up friends and neighbors. So you got 11 people in your country that you wanted to come in. So, you know, 30 years ago, and then you changed the rules on them, and now you want them to not come in.
11 million.
Okay. Yeah, 11 million. No, you don't round them. This is America. You don't round them up. But anyway, that's been suggested certainly by Russell Pierce, a lot of right wing.
Oh, it gets cheers from the GOP crowds.
Gets cheers.
Yeah, I mean, it gets standing ovations from the you know, right wing of the GOP. So, you know, it's Trump is just, in my view, is just vocalizing, you know, things that, you know, prior to this, other Republicans have been afraid to say in polite company.
Well, one of the things I wanted to do, you know, is that we were talking about today's show. I said, well, this is going to sound pretty hopeless. And I don't like those kinds of shows where we just list all the terrible things the Republicans do. And I do like the quote.
It is amusing.
Amusing. It's scary. I do like the quote that's right now going around the Internet and some social media that we have way more to fear from the Republican Party than we do any external threat. You know, who wants to shut down a government of the Republican Party? Who wants to tell lies about the potential leaders? Who doesn't want to talk about the issues during the election of the Republican Party? Who wants to keep you on and on and on? We do want to talk about the positive, wonderful thing that you can participate locally simply by pointing your car up Oak Creek Canyon and go to the Democrats of the Red Rocks annual picnic. And this year, as we're calling it, the annual picnic and Eco Expo. Another organization I'm involved with, the Verde River Valley Nature Organization, which is the organization that brings you the Birding Festival and Verde River Day, is going to be there, as are other environmental organizations. So it's going to be a fun day in the canyon with great food.
For $5, you get a barbecue lunch, you get live music, and you get to learn a lot about the environment and the groups that are working hard to protect the environment.
I know they want, and there'll be some candidates there, right?
I don't know who.
It's always been a big attraction because here was this concentration of Democrats. It's always been a big attraction for those candidates. So if you want an early look at some of the candidates that are running, certainly.
And I think some of the state Democratic leaders will be there. I don't know.
If you've always wanted to get in the face of a state Democratic leader and say, why are you guys so inept, then you can do that too. No.
So that's this Sunday, October 11th.
That's this Sunday.
It's at 11:30 to 3 p.m.
Right.
At Living Springs in Oak Creek Canyon.
Now, I do want to warn you, because I think we should, that it's a fundraiser, so they're going to be auctioning pies. I was supposed to auction pies. I hear they usually auction wine. I don't know. I'm really not too sure of the fundraising activities, but certainly that's part of it.
There are raffles and a silent auction.
Oh, yes. They collect all kinds of great stuff from a lot of local businesses and individuals. And that you can bid on. A lot of good deals, actually, have gone out of the Democrats of the Red Rocks picnic in past years. Living Springs.
And Mike, I think, is going to be doing the cooking of the helping cook burgers and
yes,
hot dogs.
I am going to help. I found out I have a conflict. I have a play that day, so I'm going to be cutting out a little early, but I am going to get the cooking started and at least do the first round.
And I'll be standing by with a beer in my hand.
Excellent. That's all I require. That's the fuel. So we have that going on. That's coming up quickly. Oh, they talk about parking, and they worry. I've been going to this thing for 20 years now, and 15 anyway. And the parking is a little, but I don't want to discourage anyone from coming because of parking. You can get a ride with someone, great. If not, come on up. We'll find a place for your car. It's always worked out, and there is a lot of places to park. So be that as it may, don't worry about the parking. Come on up and enjoy and have some wholesome politics up at Oak Creek Canyon. All right.
And as long as we're talking about upcoming events, I'd like to mention one thing about Yavapai College. There's a meeting of the advisory committee to the governing board that will take place this Wednesday morning at 8:30 a.m. at the Sedona campus, the Sedona Center of Yavapai College, with Clint Yule, who is the CFO of Yavapai College, and he's going to answer some questions and present estimates of the operating costs and expenses of running the campuses in the Verde Valley.
Let's give the background of that. We've done many shows on with Bob Oliphant, Ruth Wicks, and the advocacy committee. There's two advisory committees, one advocacy committee. And all of this is aimed at Yavapai College. I like to say Yavapai Community College, but I can't because I took the word community out of the name. And that this side of the valley doesn't get its share of services. And there are those people that blend, and as has come out on the show, that believe it was intentional that they cut services, they cut programs, certainly in Sedona to nothing, certainly in the Verde Valley.
We have half of the students in the Verde Valley today that we had prior to 2010.
And it does seem odd. People go to their community colleges, they turn to their local colleges when in economic downturns. Because they need more training, because they need more to get trained differently. But for whatever reason, this didn't happen down here. And some people believe it certainly was intentional. They were doing a sort of running the school as a business thing, but boy, I'd really like to see schools run as schools and consolidating in the home office, as it were, in Prescott and Prescott Valley. So some citizens down here got upset by that. They formed some groups. Like I said, Bob Oliphant and Ruth Wicks, chief among them, have done...
And they saved the Sedona Center or the Sedona campus from being sold.
I do believe that's true. That is true.
And so there's a number of positive changes. Things are looking better. There's still a lot to be done and a lot of things to be explored and found out. This upcoming meeting on Wednesday, I think, will be really useful because a lot of us in the Verde Valley believe that we're not getting our fair share of our tax dollars spent on this side.
And this is a result as a request from the committee chair, Paul...
Chevalier,
who couldn't get... It sounded like to me, and I can say this way, a straight answer out of the college CFO about Clint Ewell or anyone else about how much you spend over there. The response was that we don't keep track of that. He said we keep track of our finances according to Arizona State, you know, USIFER, the United the Financial Code. And that's it. And so that was the response. And it kind of leaves the committee and other people scratching their head. Well, certainly you must keep track of what you spend on, you know, at that time. Yeah, but my college had five campuses, Chino Valley, Sedona, Cottonwood, Clarkdale, and, of course, Prescott and Prescott Valley.
And Paul's committee had made a recommendation. Their entire focus is to make recommendations to the governing board.
Right.
And they had made a recommendation that the board put off the 2% tax hike until we knew more about what was going on with finances in the Verde Valley. And the board voted for the tax hike 3-2, the two representatives of the Verde Valley dissenting.
Right.
And so now we're finally going to get estimates of costs over here. So your taxes have been raised 2% again. We do know that a lot of money, a substantial portion of the Yavapai College budget comes from the Verde Valley. Yet for the next 8 years, as part of the 10-year plan that we're, you know, almost 2 years into,
right.
That the vast majority of the capital improvements are taking place at the Prescott campus, and they have plans to build a large new campus in Prescott Valley. That will incorporate, with at least the original plans were to incorporate some of the programs that still exist in the Verde Valley. So I think this meeting, it's going to be very interesting to hear questions answered.
Wednesday, Yavapai College CFO Clint Ewell will be at the Sedona campus. Go listen to see where the money's going to go. Full disclosure here, Gary LeMaster, just speaking, is... on the Citizens Advisory Committee?
Advocates Committee.
Excuse me. Thank you. I was so careful, and I said it wrong anyway. Like I said, there's two advisory committees. There's one Advocates Committee. The Advocates Committee, because we can say stuff like that here, is certainly the more antagonistic to the college. Wasn't appointed by the college. This is really a grassroots organization with Gary, Bob Oliphant, Ruth Wicks.
And if the
and some excuse me, I got to say this, and many others who have seen the numbers We can name many people, including some former college employees, and so it's become dismissed as a bunch of disgruntled employees, which it is not. It is certainly knowledgeable people who say, hey, we're not getting our fair share. On a $55 million budget, you know, $12, $15, $16 million comes from this side of the mountain, and we could run a college on that kind of money.
I would point out that the even though the Advocates Committee is being dismissed as disgruntled former employees,
yeah,
that the committee began and still includes members, many members of leaders in the various communities,
yes,
including city council members,
yes,
mayors,
yes,
members of
leading businessmen.
Yes, so it's a lot of it's hardly a group of disgruntled former employees.
Exactly.
I never worked for the college, for example.
I did talk to one of those business leaders and told them, so we had this conversation about the disgruntled former employees. I said, he said, no, we've had plenty of contact from non-former employers. He has orchestrated letters. Now, unfortunately, I wish he would ensure by sending these things to public meetings that they somehow get read at public meetings, but once again, under the board system, perhaps they can choose not to. Other boards are much more open, I believe, about their communications. I'm not accusing them of anything other than maybe not sharing all the communications that they get. So we want to.
I believe if it wasn't for this radio program,
yeah,
when Mike and Steve had Bob Oliphant and Ruth Wicks on the first time,
yeah, yeah,
to talk about what was going on with Yavapai College. Had it not been for that, and had not been for the Grassroots Advocacy Committee, the two advisory committees would not exist.
That's right.
We would not have the two members on the governing board that we have, who are advocates for education,
yeah,
for college education in the Verde Valley.
Yeah.
And those people are doing some very hard work.
Yeah, they are.
Important work, and it's very time-consuming. And so I think if it wasn't for those, none of the positive things that have happened recently over the past year to Yavapai College campuses in the Verde Valley would have happened at all.
Well, that's it, and that's how I want to wrap this up. You can't pick up a copy of the Verde Independent without some planted college story about some program or some,
of everything they're voluntarily doing.
Of everything they're voluntarily, and they certainly are looking, and it's good. They are becoming, they are getting news coverage for their educational efforts and some of their entertainment efforts and the things that the college. However, some of the people I talked to said, well, they're getting a lot. There's a lot of news stories. So, and I was talking about that they were losing the PR battle with the college, if indeed the money is still not, if indeed there's no programs at the Sedona campus or very few programs, if indeed you still can't become a nurse at the Verde Valley campus, and or forget paralegal, forget all the programs they used to have. Everything's been abandoned except wine. It sounds, but the newspaper headlines do not make it sound like, they make it sound like they're doing many, many things. People I talked to saying, yeah, it's all smoke and mirrors. So that remains to be seen. I'm not putting my money on either horse at the moment.
Smarter people than I have researched this, but to my understanding, no student can get a certificate or an associate's degree by attending a Verde Valley campus. They have to take classes. To complete it, they have to take some classes in Prescott or Prescott Valley,
yeah,
or online.
And I have to admit that that just shocks some of us that have been here a long time, because you had so many great programs offered on the Verde Valley campus, and reaching over to this side of the valley. You got Camp Verde, you got Sedona, you had small campuses starting there. So they still, if they had to travel, they had to go to Verde Valley. Now it is Prescott. Now I realize that Google still has that listed as either 11 miles or 13 miles, and it's neither of those things. It's at least 35 miles.
It's at least an hour drive.
Yeah, exactly. And through
from my house, it's an hour
right.
and a half.
Depending on which way you go. Precisely. You live on the this side of the valley. Or at least this side of Cottonwood.
And from Sedona, it's you know longer yet.
It devastates enrollment. You know, who's going to do that, especially in this day, even with gas at $2 a gallon or $2.50. It's
And when you consider the average
horrible.
Age of the students
yes.
of Yavapai College is 36
right.
years old, which means that most of the students, or at least a large percentage, are working, have families and are working at jobs, and to expect them to drive for an hour to you know, hour and a half or longer across the mountain to get an education or to complete their education, I think is asking too much. And the online programs are not yet the answer. We don't have enough high-speed internet,
right.
enough access to it in the Verde Valley. That will be a potential answer in the future. But as of now, that is a lot of many students don't have access to.
Talk to anybody that has to deal with the internet on a regular basis. In this case, I'm referring to realtors. And they will tell you about the lack of high-speed internet and what a it gets in the way of their work. You know, it gets in the way of their method of making a living. And it's the same thing, I think, with online classes. And we can go on and on. You know, online classes do have a purpose, and they're great and wonderful things. Colleges like them because they're very cheap to put on. You can, you know, but they... they have still massive dropout rates, and I know, you know, dedicated online teachers who work very hard to keep the students who sign up for their classes in class. But it is just the nature of online classes. Period.
If I could mention something else that's going on that has to do with education,
give me $5.
I would encourage you to sign a petition to recall Diane Douglas, the superintendent, the state superintendent of public education. Who finally, after a year and a half, has turned her attention
to education. They announced all over the news last night that Arizona's finally, as many of us knew, the latest of some whatever studies they're looking at, we are dead last in funding. They have four plans coming up. The Democrats want to put $5 billion over the next 10 years. The Republicans want to put $4 billion, and the governor wants to put $2 billion in education over the next 10 years. This is money they need now. They're hemorrhaging now. Teachers are leaving now. Classrooms are falling apart now. The classroom is being devastated now, but they're talking about the next 10 years as if that's going to solve the problem. I'm glad they're talking about it, but all they're doing is talking. And the governor's plan is extremely complicated and still requires voter approval. So we're talking about 2016 before it's just short of criminal. I mean, I think what they've done to education is a near criminal act.
And as a result, we have to have lots of bond issues and overrides in order to keep schools operating. You can go online and find a petition or a way to sign the petition to recall Douglas.
Right, you can support education that way.
I'd like to recall the voters and the registration of those who voted for.
You can support education. By November 3rd, Mingus is having their bond election. You can support education that way. Listen, folks, we're about to wrap this up. Democratic Perspective is finished for its mid-October show. Please go to vvid.org and listen to all our old shows. Some of them are really pretty good.
And hope to see you at the annual picnic and Eco Expo.
Yes, vvid.org. And happy Halloween. Is that our next? Happy Election Day a year from now.
been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.